Turning your Bibles tonight to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, and we want to read beginning at verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this service tonight. We thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for your blessings this week. We thank you for the great blessing of the eclipse on Monday. What a demonstration of the mighty power of God that man can do absolutely nothing about. Predict it to the second. Do nothing about it, but just stand in awe of it. We thank you for this demonstration of Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And we thank you for the message that was preached on Monday. A message of your eternal power and Godhead, so that people are without excuse. We thank you that you have given us your written word, in addition to the testimony of the creation. We pray that we would have a great appreciation for this miraculous book that we hold in our hands. We pray that you would speak to our hearts from it tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're continuing our study of Samson, one of the men who led Israel in the days of the judges. And one of the most important things that we can take from these studies of the life of Samson is that he's a picture of believers. He's a picture of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We talked about that in our first two messages, the detail of how he is a picture of believers. And so as we read and study about Samson, and we read about his struggles, we're reading and studying about ourselves. And we can see in Samson the struggles that we have in the Christian life every day. I think we mentioned in our last message that there are two words that best describe Samson's life: up and down. And that's true from the first time we see this man here in the Word of God. Look again at chapter 13 and verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Samson begins his life up, if you will. He begins his life growing, certainly growing physically, but also growing spiritually. He was growing in grace, and he was growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's evidenced by what we see in verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The wording in this verse is very interesting. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. Those words, to move him at times, are one Hebrew word. It's word 6470, and that word means to impale. And to impale is to cause someone to feel a strong need or desire to do something. There were times when the Spirit of the Lord moved Samson. He caused him to feel a strong need, a strong leading, a strong desire to do something. But notice that that was only at times. At times. So what did Samson do in between those times? I believe he waited on the Lord. He sat still and did nothing. He waited until the Spirit of the Lord moved again and directed him as to what he should be doing. Waiting on the Lord. That's the hard part of being led by the Spirit, isn't it? Waiting on the Lord. Sitting still. One of the greatest lessons about this is in the book of Ruth. One of the lessons that Naomi learned in leaving Bethlehem and going to Moab and then coming back was to wait on the Lord. Look over just a few pages, if you will. It's not very far. To Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. In this chapter, Boaz acknowledges that he is a near kinsman of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. And so he can marry Ruth and raise up seed to Mahlon, her husband, who had died. He could do that so that Mahlon's name would not be cut off among his brethren. But there was one obstacle to Boaz doing that. And that was in the investigation. He found that there was a kinsman who was a nearer relation to Elimelech's family than he was. And so this other kinsman was ahead of Boaz in the line of succession, I guess would be the way we would understand the situation there. And so Boaz tells Ruth, I believe, had been anticipating that she would be married to Boaz. And so he tells her about this nearer kinsman. And so she comes and she tells Naomi this information, that there's a nearer kinsman than Boaz. And I think that you can kind of imagine the turmoil and the restlessness and the uneasiness and the desire in Ruth's heart to do something. We got to do something, Naomi. But notice what Naomi said to Ruth in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 18. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." This is one of the most important verses in the Word of God concerning living the Christian life. Sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. Gail used to have a little booklet. It was called Sit Still Until. And what is so critical to notice here is it just because Ruth is sitting still, just because she's waiting, it doesn't mean that nothing is happening. Because something is happening. While Ruth is sitting still and resting, the man Boaz, he's not in rest. He's working. And he's going to work until he's finished this thing. He's going to work until he finds out if this nearer kinsman can marry Ruth. And, of course, you know the story. He finds out this man he cannot fulfill that obligation. And so, what a difference. What a difference there would be in my life and in your life if we could just get a hold of these little words here. There are times when the Spirit of God, like He did Samson, moves us. Times when He impels us. Times when He causes us to feel a strong need, a strong leading, a strong desire that He wants us to do something. But then there are times when He doesn't move us to do something. And in those times, we're to sit still. And just because we are sitting still doesn't mean we're unspiritual. Just because we're sitting still and waiting, it doesn't mean that there isn't something happening. Because there is something happening. In those times, while we're sitting still and waiting, our Boaz, the man Christ Jesus, is not in rest. He's working and He's moving and He's not going to be in rest. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. This is part of it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What do we labor and are heavy about more than anything else? It's sitting still and waiting on the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'm going to do the work. You let me work. And in those times while we're sitting still and waiting, our Boaz, the man Christ Jesus, is not in rest. He's working. He's moving. And He is not going to be in rest until He's finished the thing and made His will known to us. He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I think sometime when I read this verse, what a difference there would be in this world tonight. What a difference there would be in this world tonight if Abraham and Sarah had sat still until God worked and gave them the promised son, Isaac. Instead of working their own plan, not sitting still and waiting, working their own plan to bring about the will of God, that plan that brought Ishmael into the world, the father of the Arab and Muslim nations, all the conflict there in the Middle East, all of the preaching of hate that is taking place in this country, in Dearborn, Michigan, by the way. Dearborn, Michigan is rapidly becoming a no-go place for Christians and Jews. I was listening to a recording of an imam there preaching what? Death to Israel. Death to America. America needs to be destroyed. You can go all the way back. And Abraham and Sarah would not sit still until the Lord brought about what He had promised. That's why David wrote in Psalm 27 and verse 14, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart." And what does he say at the end of that verse again? "Wait, I say, on the Lord. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Well, let's go back to Judges 13 again. How much less complicated our lives would be if we would learn this lesson. This lesson that Naomi learned. This lesson that she taught to Ruth. This lesson that Samson apparently followed, as we read about him here in verse 25. moving when the Lord told him to move. Doing something when the Spirit of God led him to do it. And in between, sitting still and waiting. And resting in the fact that the Lord will not be in rest until He's finished the work. This is the up that we find Samson, that we find in Samson's life at the beginning. But then we come to chapter 14, verse 1. And the first thing that we read is that Samson went down to Timnath. He saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he wanted her. He wanted his father to get her for him to wife. And notice the very next thing that we read in chapter 14 and verse 2. Right there. And he came up. He came up. In the space of three verses, Samson has been up, he's been down, and he's been up again. In chapter 13 and verse 25, he's up. Chapter 14 and verse 1, he's down. Chapter 14 and verse 2, he came back up. Up and down and up. And this is important because as we study this man's life, he's a picture of you and me if we're saved. And as we see him up and down and up, again, the verse that comes to mind is Ephesians 4:14, where Paul writes and tells us that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. When you're tossed to and fro, you're up and down, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. That word sleight means deception. It's a description of spiritual instability. That ye be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight, by the deception of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. This is a description of people who are up and down in the Christian life. And the source of the instability, first and foremost, is our own selves. The most deceptive person, the most cunning and crafty person, the one who will lie in wait to deceive us, is our own heart. That's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is the instability that we see in Samson. It's the instability so many times that we see in our own lives. And it's this instability that causes us to be drawn away from the Lord, to be drawn away of our own lust and enticed. In verse 3, Samson's parents, his father and his mother, inject some stability into their son's life. And they do that by confronting him with the Word of God. The Word of God written, the Word of God living, the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. He is our foundation. Hebrews 6 and verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Well, who's in the veil? The Word of God living, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who is never tossed to and fro. He's the one who is never up and down. The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Word of God living, the Lord Jesus, the Word of God written are the only source of stability for God's people. They're the only source of stability for ourselves and for our children. And so here's Samson's parents in verse 3 giving him the Word of God, that he might have stability in his life. We talked about this verse in our last message. I think, in fact, it's where we spent most of our time. And it's so important, as we talked about, for parents to see how Manoah and his wife dealt with their adult child. He was beyond the age for corporal punishment, if you will. But he wasn't too old to be confronted with the Word of God. Our children are never too old to be confronted with the Word of God. That's what they did. And that's what the Lord would have us do. They said to Samson in verse 3, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" That's the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 3, and we may have looked at that verse last time, God tells His people that they were not to make marriages with the people of the land that He was going to give them, the land that He was going to bring them into. They weren't to make marriages with them. He told them, "Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son." God's message to His people, we're talking about stability. God's message to His people doesn't change. It hasn't changed. Because when we come to the New Testament, we come to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever, the one who spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 3 to His people, He speaks to His people in 2 Corinthians 6:14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And so Manoah and his wife are confronting Samson with the Word of God. They're trying to give him stability in his life. But what does Samson do? Notice the last part of verse 3. "And Samson said unto his father, Dad, you're right. You're right. Thank you so much for telling me. Thank you so much for reminding me." No, that's not what he said, is it? And this will always be the direction of a rebellious heart. "And Samson said unto his father, Get her from me, for she pleaseth me well." Samson rejects the message of the Word of God. He has no stability. Look at verse 5. "Then went Samson down." Down again. And as sad as those words are, the next six words are even sadder. "Samson went down, and his father, and his mother." Manoah and his mother gave up their stability. They left the place of stability. They left the place of obedience to the Word of God to go with their son down to Timnath. We talked about last time, I believe, from Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Manoah and his wife withstood in the evil day. They confronted Samson with the Word of God, but they didn't do all to stand. They confronted him with the Word of God, but they, instead of staying in Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol and telling Samson, "Look, we will not go with you down to Timnath. If that's where you're determined to go, then you'll have to go alone." Instead, they went with Samson down to Timnath. What a contrast there is between Manoah and his wife, and the prodigal's father over in the Gospel of Luke. The prodigal's father didn't go with his son into the far country. He stayed at home. Mr. Creech preached a message one time, I've never forgotten it, of how because that father stayed, that son had a place to come back to. That son, when he came to himself and the end of himself, who did he remember? How things were in his father's house. And he knew his father was still there. So what does he do? He goes back. It's so sad when parents accompany their children in their rebellion. Samson rejected the message of the Word of God. And the rest of his life is characterized by instability. It's characterized by these two words, up and down. Look at chapter 14 and verse 7. "And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." Apparently, though, he went back up to his father's house, because in verse 8, he went down again to take this woman to be his wife. And in chapter 14 and verse 19, the Lord sent Samson down to Ashkelon. And without any delay, the Lord brought him back up to his father's house. In chapter 15 and verse 1, Samson went down again to Timnath to visit his wife. And you remember that when he went down to visit his wife, her father said, "Well, I've given her to another man, but you can have her younger sister." I mean, she, after all, she's a whole lot prettier than this girl that you married. You take her instead of this one that you've married. And Samson got very upset about that. And you remember, as maybe we'll talk about in another message, he takes 300 foxes and he takes firebrands and he turns the foxes tail to tail and he sets them loose in the crops of the Philistines. And they burn down the standing corn and they go into the vineyards and the olive yards, olive trees. And the Philistines want to know who's done this. Well, Samson did it. The Philistines came up and they burnt her father and the girl that Samson had originally taken to wife. They burned them with fire. And Samson said, "Okay, I'm going to be avenged further." And the Bible tells us in verse 8, he smote them, the Philistines, hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And notice, he went down further. He's already down in Timnath. Now he goes down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. You know, it's interesting sometimes when we're down, we sort of justify ourselves being down by being in the upper portion of the down part of the Christian life. I guess maybe another way to say it is being in the top part of a sewer. And we comfort ourselves with that. And that's kind of what we see here in verse 8. And so the Philistines, they're upset. And they come up against Judah. And the men of Judah said, "Well, what are y'all here for?" And they said, "Well, we want Samson." And so the men of Judah take 3,000 men and they go up to the top of the rock. And they say to Samson, Samson, the Philistines are the rulers over us, in case you didn't know it. And we've come up here to bind thee so that we can turn you over to the Philistines. And Samson agrees to let them bind him with this one proviso. He says, "Swear unto me," in verse 12, "that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." They spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but we won't kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords, and they brought him up from the rock. So here's Samson, up and down and up and down. Now look at chapter 16 and verse 1. "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her." And we learn in verse 3 that Gaza is down, because when Samson left there and he arises at midnight, and he takes the doors of the gate of the city and carried them up, we read, to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And so Samson is up on the top of the hill that is before Hebron. But in verse 4, he goes down. He goes down. He goes down from the top of the hill that is before Hebron to the valley of Soreh. And from there, Samson goes further down. Look at verse 21. "But the Philistines took him." And you know what has preceded this. He's laid in Delilah's lap. And finally, he's told her the secret of his great strength. It's his hair. And so she calls the lords of the Philistines in. They shave his hair. And when she says, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee, he gets up and he thinks that he's going to do like he did at other times. But he didn't realize that the power of God had departed from him. And so in verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And finally, look at chapter 16 and verse 31. Then his brethren, all the house of his father, came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. This was Samson's life. We've taken a brief tour through it. And what we find is he's up and down and up and down. But there's a critical point here. When Samson leaves the top of the hill that is before Hebron. If you look the name Hebron up, the meaning of the name has an important meaning. It means communion. Communion. When Samson leaves the communion and the fellowship of Hebron, it pictures communion and fellowship with the Lord. But when Samson leaves that and he chooses the valley of Sorek, the valley, valleys are down. He chooses the valley of Sorek. Sorek means choice vines. Choice vines. And when Samson leaves the communion and the fellowship of Hebron for the choice vines, what comes from choice vines? Wine. One of the things that wine pictures in the Bible is the intoxicating ideas of Satan. The intoxicating ideas of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. When he leaves Hebron to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, that's all the choice vines of Sorek are. That's all they are. Oh, they look beautiful. They look appealing. But all they are the pleasures of sin for a season. Samson never comes up again. In fact, as we read in verse 21, he goes even further down. Samson went down once too often. He's like a lot of believers in this hour. We reject the message of the Word of God. We leave the place of communion and fellowship with Him. We leave the communion and fellowship that we have with Him in the local church. We leave the communion and the fellowship that we have with Him as we daily study His Word together. We leave that for the valley of Sorek, and we wonder why there is no stability in our lives. Samson's like a lot of believers who think they can play with sin and get away with it. Samson thought he could go down to Timnath, and down to the rock Edom, and down to Gaza, and down to the valley of Sorek, without any effect on his strength, without any effect on his life. It's okay. It's okay if I go down as long as I come up. It's okay if I live as I please, to live in the world as long as I come back up on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's amazing how many believers live by that kind of philosophy. It's a philosophy of instability. But God tells us where that philosophy of instability will take us. Again, look at chapter 16 and verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. This philosophy of instability, this up and down Christian living, will put our spiritual eyes out. Because sin blinds. And the more we go down to sin, the deeper we go. And the less and less as we get deeper and deeper into it, do we see it? We become blind to it until we aren't even aware of its existence in our lives. Sin blinds us and brings judgment into our lives, and finally we find ourselves enslaved by it, grinding in the prison house. That's where Samson ends up. He went down once too often. And down in the prison house, grinding away, entangled again with the yoke of bondage, if you will, Samson learned some lessons. We see in chapter 16 and verse 22, the hair of his head began to grow. Hair, as we've talked about, speaks to us of submission. And there in the prison house, Samson's hair begins to grow. Samson's submission begins to grow and come back. But isn't it sad that we have to learn spiritual lessons like that? It's sad that we have to learn them in the prison house. And there's a sense in which Samson learned the folly of his instability and this philosophy of instability that he lived by. He learned it too late. In verse 30, we see that he died with his enemies. And in verse 31, we get an idea of how far down this man was. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah's father. Pastor Kelly said in a message some years ago that Samson was so far down that he had to be brought up before they could bury him. That's where the life of instability and sin will take us. Can't help but think about James 2:14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There may be some believer here tonight who's living this philosophy, this life of instability. Some believer, perhaps, who is blinded by their sin and they're down, grinding in the prison house. If there is, it's not too late. It's not too late to come out of that prison. And we know that's true because you're here tonight in this meeting. God is giving you an opportunity to confess your sins because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The same is true if you're lost. It doesn't matter how far down you are. There is no limit. There is no place. There is no depth to which the blood of Christ cannot reach. Tonight, right where you are, you can be saved. What a wonderful message the message of the gospel is. If we turn to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith, He'll take us and He'll cleanse us. He'll wash us from our sins in His own blood. And He'll raise us from the dead of our trespasses and sins and give us His life. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for letting us have a few moments to look into the life of Samson. Because if we're honest, we can see ourselves in this man. We pray that You would help us every day to look to You, that we might not live a life of instability, a life of up and down and up and down. We pray that You would help us to consider these things tonight.